Track 2. The Moon and the Tides.
Hello. My name's Susan, and I'm interested in rocks and landscapes in the Otley area. You've arrived at Marker Stone 1, where you can find out about tidal laminites. The carving on the marker stone shows waves with a moon above, to indicate that the laminites were deposited as a result of tidal activity. You'll notice in the track that there are thin beds, or laminae, of sandstone called laminites. These thin beds were deposited in a coastal area of the Carboniferous Delta. Tides were probably higher than they are today, so the water would have come in fast over sand flats, as in present-day Morecambe Bay. Probably each fine lamination represents a single tide, so you can count how many days it took to deposit the layers. The structure of these thin beds can be seen in an exposed low cliff 5 metres to your left. It's uncommon anywhere in the world to see rocks that represent tidal sediments. Please do not damage these rocks, as they're good examples of an unusual feature and of great interest to geologists. Neil Aitkenhead will tell you a bit more about how the rocks were formed.
Well, it's very unusual for a thickness of rocks such as we see here, a metre plus, isn't it, to be laid down so quickly. Normally we think of a metre of rock as perhaps taking tens if not hundreds of years to be deposited. But here each layer represents a tide, so we've got 2 tides per 24 hours. So this is very rapid deposition. Between each sandstone lamina there is in fact a layer of mud, and the layer of mud represents very slack water when the tide has been turning. And then as the tidal current gets going again, it brings in more sand. These rocks were once obviously sand on the seashore. They were then buried by literally hundreds of metres of other sands and different sediments, muds. So this would have once been about 5 or 10 kilometres below the Earth's surface. And in that sort of position, there for many years, it would get somewhat heated up, it would get all the water squeezed out of it, and this process would turn it into rock. And then the whole lot, all the overlying rocks have been eroded away, especially during glacial times, which is another story, these have been brought back to the surface again, and they're now there as we see them today.
Thank you, Neil.
Continue up the path for about 250 metres until you reach Marker Stone 2 at grid reference SE2087-4439. As you walk further up the path, you are passing through the spoil tips of Quarry Waste. Listen to the description of the rocks and the history of quarrying on the Chevin.
The quarry was excavated in a sandstone called the Addingham Edge Grit, so named because the same sandstone is exposed at Addingham Edge, some 14 kilometres to the west. The rocks of the Otley Chevin area are Upper Carboniferous in age, so they're about 315 million years old. These rocks were laid down in deltas on the edge of a large continent with mountains to the north and south. Sands and muds were deposited in shallow water by rivers. After the sediment was formed close to sea level, they were buried by hundreds of metres of sediment and compressed so that the water was squeezed out. This water, moving through the sediments, carried minerals which cemented the sand and mud grains together to make sandstones and mudstones. Shortly after that, the rocks were tilted towards the south, so the rock in the quarry dips towards the Aire Valley at about 6 degrees, if you measure from the horizontal.
Hi, my name's Bob. And I've walked on Otley Chevin for many years. East Chevin Quarry is also known as Pelston Cross Quarry, and historically was used as a common quarry, which meant that the land was set aside for the use of the inhabitants of the local township. The stone from here was used for the foundation of the Houses of Parliament, and also for the maintenance of East Chevin Road. The rock was quarried for crushed grit, for use as sand and gravel, although the rock is also suitable for building stone and sets. Imagine the quarry as a noisy, bustling place with large blocks of rock being taken off the quarry faces with cranes and crowbars. The stone would have been split into manageable sizes using mallets and wedges and then shaped into building stones by stonemasons with hammers and chisels. Any irregular stones would have been used for building field walls, and any waste left over was probably used for making tracks and roads. It was last quarried by local people in 1920. Maps from 1800 show many small-scale quarries across much of the scarp slope of the Chevin. Most of the stone from the Chevin was described by stonemasons as Bramley Falls stone, although it's not as good as the grit stones that came from Bramley, Horsforth or Guiseley, which were favoured for finer quality masonry work. The main use of Chevin stone was railway embankments, bridge footings, defensive seawalls, local houses and civic buildings, roofing slates and millstones.